This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Hello, everybody. What's happening? Tiki and Tierney, second hour, coming to you from the Tiki and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is more than a house, it's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage on this Thursday around the country. Hope everybody's hanging in there. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM Channel 206, radio.com, on Twitter, Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. Good hour flew by. It's always a good sign. Mm-hmm. Our number is 1-855-212-4227 on this Thursday. Expansion. Who's not up for expansion? I mean, why wouldn't you want expansion? To me, expansion is always good for the most part. I mean, there's very few instances where expansion, whether it's pro or collegiately, is greatly resisted. All right, I'll give you maybe the Vancouver Grizzlies wasn't the best idea to take it up to. One thing to go to Toronto, another thing to go to Vancouver. That didn't work out too well. Yeah, there's been a few markets that probably didn't deserve it across all the different sports. I got it. But in large part, more is good, and even more is even better. So when we read the articles we did today, that 112 of the 130 athletic directors around the country want to expand the college football playoff format, number one, we shouldn't be surprised. Number two, do we co-sign this? I know I do. How about you?
Well, I mean, we've been talking about this for a long time. And to be specific, 112 of the 130 responded to this survey. But of that 112, almost 90% of them said, yeah, we need to expand the playoff. And the reasoning, BT, is simple. And we talk about this every year. Do we care about the other bowl games?
No.
The answer is no.
Nope.
And it's a shame because, like, I remember going to the Carquest Bowl a couple of times when I was at Virginia and the Peach Bowl, and those things were meaningful for us. I mean, the Poulon Weed Eater Bowl we also went to and down in Shreveport, Illinois. But, like, the bowl game was meaningful to a program like Virginia that was up and coming and still growing and becoming where we ultimately got to. Now we're rebuilding that, obviously, with Bronco Mendenhall. But the bowl games were meaningful. Fans would travel because there was such pride in your school and accomplishment in the postseason. Now, you look at the stadiums and some of them are half full, if at all. There's just not a ton of fan interest, and even of the schools, because all of the focus, media and otherwise, has been put on the college football playoff. And I get it. They needed a better system than the BCS to determine the national champion because it felt arbitrary. It's like, all right, well, this team's going to win it. You're both undefeated, but you can't play each other. So this team is the winner, the national champion. And so the college football playoff system has been significantly better at determining. But there's still always that speculation. Well, what if this team would have gotten in? Well, what if UCF back in 2018? Yeah,
yep.
I know they were the 8th seed overall to finish in the college football playoff rankings. They were number 8 seed. But what if they had gotten in, right? Would they have given a run to some of the top teams? Yeah, just likely no. But wouldn't it have been interesting as hell to find out, right, so that we could solve that group of five question once and for all?
Yes.
And so all ADs see this, and they recognize with more bowls in the playoff, there's more money that comes from those respective bowls.
Not only the outlier, like the UCF or, you know, back in the day, Boise State, there's always that cool story that emerges.
That's right.
Or maybe not every year where it's completely viable, but you know, every decade there's at least, you know, four or five of these, you know, from the ashes, non-power traditional schools that burst on the scene that don't get a chance to compete. And listen, stop selling me on the pageantry, because Tiki's absolutely right. I mean, you know, you look at the Bahama Bowl, the Bahamas, the Bahamas or Bahama. I don't even know what the Bahamas. I could go with the Bahamas Bowl. Tiki, there's nobody there.
Yeah.
I told you, listen, I'm very candid in terms of what I like to do, you know, what I like to bet on. I didn't bet one bowl game this year. I didn't bet one bowl game.
It's a, how do you?
I don't know who's taking it seriously.
Yeah.
Because, you know, teams that might have had designs of playing in a more prominent bowl, if they get relegated to a lesser bowl, where's the focus in practice? Where's the attention to detail? Are the coaches maybe looking at other jobs? Are they in transition to other jobs? It's a month after the season. These bowls are horrendous. They're really terrible. And really what it's become is, you know, to bring the college basketball model in for a moment, you've got the Big Dance, then you've got the NIT, which mm-hmm. used to be comparable to the Big Dance, but the NIT is relegated to an incredibly second-class status at this point. Then you've got the CBI. And then I still think there's something called the College Basketball Insiders event, I think. I believe there's four. I know that there's certainly three. CBI is still there. And the CBI, I believe you have to pay for to get entrance, where the NIT and the Big Dance get invited, obviously. I would say about 30 of these college football bowls are comparable, not even the NIT, to the CBI, where they're totally random. Like, you and I are doing shows, like, I don't know, December 17th, 1 o'clock, we're in the studio getting ready for our show. There's a game. Who's playing?
You're right.
Who is are the these two teams? What? Like, well, the North Texas Bowl, the Bonnet Bowl. I can't take it. And I long ago stopped pretending that I like these bowl games. They're a colossal waste of time. They're not incredibly competitive. Nobody cares about them. So stop trying to package them as meaningful.
Well, it's interesting because you said something that resonates, because you used to care about this bowl game. Now, I'm talking about as a player, you used to care. Now you hear the Auburns of the world who lost to UCF that year that they were ranked number 8. And I forget what bowl game they played in, but they lost, right? And so they didn't care. They didn't want to be there. No. Some of these guys are like, yeah, I'm going to get ready for the NFL draft. Why compromise myself for a game that doesn't mean anything? We're not in the college football playoff conversation right now. This bowl game is meaningless. Yeah, there's some revenue that's going to come to the university, but that doesn't affect me, right? I'm not compensated to go play in this bowl game and potentially risk my next career. But back in the day, you know, back in my day, BT, we played in the Peach Bowl in 1995. That was the year that we beat Florida State. We, you know, lost to Michigan on the last play. We lost to Texas on the last play. But that bowl game, like, was completion to our season. Yep. And it was a grind. I mean, it was a hell of a fight against Georgia, basically in their home stadium, our home state at least, in Atlanta.
And is that Hines Ward? Well, who?
Yeah, Hines Ward was a quarterback. Right? Hines was a wide receiver, but their quarterback got hurt. And so Hines played quarterback that day. And we're like, oh, yeah, we got this. Hines played his ass off, man.
He's a baller.
He was a baller, dude. But it was a hard-fought game. Literally came down to the last, like, sequence, the kickoff that Pete Allen returned for a touchdown and won. But everybody was into it, right? It meant something to mm-hmm. win that game. Nowadays, the bowl games don't have that meaning. I'm talking about the good bowl
it's
games,
too.
I'm not even talking about, like, the ones that are like, that are played on, like, December 17th, like you were talking about. Like, the good ones people aren't necessarily interested in playing in or watching. And so the expansion of the playoff makes it a lot more compelling. It gives more teams an opportunity to play into that second season. And let's not forget, it's just one more weekend. You know, just adding a quarterfinal round as opposed to just semifinal and final. It's quarterfinal, now semi, and then final. So logistically, it could be done. And then you add in, you know, the bowl games to that quarterfinal round and the semifinal round. Really, the only thing that becomes
academics.
Well,
finals.
Maybe, because that gets in the way. But we know that this is compromised anyways in athletes. You know, this is a baseball player, BT, right? You guys were like all over the place.
58 games.
Exactly. All the time. Yeah. Do that class remotely. Take that test on the road. Your coach will proctor you, right?
That's what we did.
I know it is. Yeah. You had to.
Between playing cards, of course.
Of course. But, I mean, so I think that this is the only debate here is how do you fill out the eight teams, right? Mm-hmm. Is it the five power conference champions and then, you know, the group of five best team or two group of five teams and at large, you know, what that looks like? That's the only thing that's debatable. This makes perfect sense. And with 4 years left, four seasons left on the original 10-year deal, this is going to happen.
And that's a point there because it expires in 2025. You've got plenty of time before this needs to be implemented in the year 2026 to figure out some of the issues here logistically. In terms of venues, in terms of exactly defining mm-hmm. who the eight team, I assume it will be eight teams. I can't imagine you go a lot more than that.
Yeah, the majority of the ADs wanted eight teams. I mean, some suggested 12 and others maybe like 16, but eight sounds about right.
72%, to Tiki's point, of the 112 that responded and voted on this here, 88% of the ADs wanted an extended playoff format, as we know. 72% of that group preferred 8-team models. 11% want either 12 or 16. Mm-hmm. And then 5% want six teams. And only 12% want the playoffs to remain at four teams. So, you know, it's a very underwhelming number, 12% saying, no, we're good the way we are. You know, you could even, this might be a little zany for some, but if you want to really have fun, you could make that last one, assuming that it's eight, make it a wild card variable where fans vote on it.
Can you imagine that?
Why not?
I mean, that would be interesting. The reason you can't do it is because fan bases that are, like, just stupid, they're everywhere, and national would win that debate. You know what I mean? So you'd have potentially a non-qualified team. Let's say Alabama has a down year. It's never going to happen. Let's mm-hmm. say Alabama mm-hmm. goes, you know, 8-4 one yep. season. They're going to get into the playoff, even if they have no business
flood
being
the polls.
In the playoffs.
Yeah, flood exactly. Flood the polls. Yeah.
There's Alabama fans all over the place.
That's true.
I'd probably want Alabama to get in just to see.
Or you could have the opposite. You could have this undercurrent of, hey, let's get Hawaii in there.
Yeah, that's right.
And like the whole nation says, you know what? Let's just, that's probably a bit of a dopey.
But wait, what was it? Who was it? Taco Fall? Who was the basketball player?
From Central Florida. Was it Taco?
Yeah, wasn't he voted in by the fans in the All-Star?
Almost. He was lead. He was there for, you're talking about for the All-Star game.
Yeah, that's right. But wasn't he like leading the fan vote at some point?
He was for a while. And then either the fan interest dissipated.
Yeah, something like that.
And it was more conventional, or the NBA stepped in based on his fluctuations to the G League, if I recall.
That's
right. The shuttle back, something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, the power of voting could go a million directions, as we know.
Yeah, he had a two-way contract. That's right.
The other thing this does here, Teak, is that, you know, there's been some seasons where there's a second team from a power conference that gets hosed.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, obviously you don't want to have three teams from a power conference represent of the four. You don't want 75% of the teams under the current model represented from one conference here. But if it's stretched out to eight and it's that unusual set of circumstances where a conference is just so overwhelmingly dominant, then you could actually have three teams. Like in 80, now this wasn't voted, this was earned, but, you know, this could happen. Back in 85, and I know CBS rebroadcast this game about a week or so, I think it was last Saturday, when Villanova beat Georgetown, Patrick Ewing and John Thompson, for the mm-hmm. championship in 85, the Big East had three teams there. It was Villanova, Georgetown, St. John's made it. They lost in the semis, and Memphis State with Keith Lee was the fourth team. Nobody was squawking about that because it was earned, and everybody knew the Big East was the absolute dominant power conference by far, certainly back then. And I think fans are savvy enough and perceptive enough to adapt and embrace a similar model. If a conference is just kicking ass, well, you get three teams.
That's right.
Whatever.
And I'm okay with that as long as the best teams are playing, and that's what we want. Right? That's why the college football playoff system was put in place, so that the best team – over the course of, you know, 12 games in a championship game, or 11 games in a championship game, and their respective conferences are going to play for the national championship. And there's a meritocracy here. You got to earn it. If you lose, if you have a down day or an off day or a trap game or whatever it is and you lose, you just don't deserve to be there. That's your mm-hmm. fault. But you control it. And I think that this is the natural evolution of a great system that's changed how we're determining our national champion in college football.
Yeah, you know, and it's it does all. The other thing I think it would really truly do for sure is it would probably embolden some teams who are otherwise inclined to play doormats out of the chute to get a couple of wins early, mm-hmm. you know, and then maybe play on a neutral site and play one decent team. But you look up and all the good teams are 5-0 with almost no challenge.
Yeah.
if there's four extra teams there, the wiggle room is expanded exponentially to the point where you can now schedule something early to Titans from different conferences. And if you happen to lose that game, there's enough of a season to come back and still earn a spot amongst the final eight. So that's something else that we would benefit from as fans.
Well, exactly. Well, that's better for college football, right? You better, more influential and important games as opposed to watching, you know, some of these lesser teams get beat up by the powerhouses just because they need someone to put on their schedule.
Well, Teague, think about what we get with college basketball. It's the exact opposite. You've got the Maui Classic, you know, Duke taking on Michigan State and Gonzaga playing UNC and all these crossing of conferences and, you know, top 15, top 20 teams playing each other all over the country. And in certain situations in the Caribbean, so, you know, just outside of the country. I think it's a roadmap to a more competitive, more fun. And I just think everybody wins. Number one, they make more money. That's the obvious. Mm-hmm. Number two, the lesser stories have a chance to truly get rewarded. Number three, in terms of what you and I do for a living day to day, the debates will rage from different directions because there's more conversations to be had. I honestly don't see any downside. If the only downside is, well, we don't want to take the young men away from their studies any longer than they need to be. All right, let's shut up because nobody cares. And there's a way to, you know, there's a way to circumvent that. You can still take the test. You can still get the assignments in. Let's face it, at the factories, they're there to play football. You take the final when you get around to taking the final.
That's right.
I mean, can we all agree upon that?
Dude, we're drafting digitally this year, virtually this year. They can figure out ways to get this done.
Yeah. So let's open this up a little bit here. Teague and I are married to the number eight. I wonder if there's anybody out there, any undercurrent of fandom that would latch on to, you know what? Hell, if you're going to make it eight, make it 10. If you're going to make it 10, jack it up to 12. Like, how far would you be willing to go to stretch the tournament? 1-855-212-4227, 1-855-212-4CBS, or maybe like the 12% of ADs who voted, of the 112 that voted, 12% say, nah, we're good with four, we're cool. What do you think? 1-855-212-4CBS. You know, we'll throw this by Eddie George as well. Eddie's going to join us, not next segment, the segment after. Talk about the Titans, obviously, but also he keeps his toe in the college football pool, former Buckeye great. So we're going to roll with this for a little bit. Four teams, eight teams, 10 teams, 12 teams. What do you think? But it looks like it's going to happen. You cool with it? Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Okay, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote, geico.com. This ties into the conversation. Just saw this tweet from Adam Schefter within the last 15 minutes, and Schefter tweeted out, speaking to people in and around college football this week, there is, quote, strong conviction that there will be a college football this season. I keep speaking it. Keep writing that, Schefter. Write it into existence, buddy.
Exactly.
Uncertainty about when, multiple scenarios being debated, but they sound certain that there will still be college football this season.
Yeah, no, I mean, we think that that's obviously a necessity because of the money that goes into these athletic departments from major college sports. We already saw this with the NCAA basketball tournament, BT. You got to play the game, even if it's significantly delayed. That will be the big issue, really, is how delayed will the college football season start? Because these guys obviously start a couple of weeks before the NFL does, and if it gets too late, then you know you don't want to start the season on time with no training camp and no spring workouts or summer workouts, I should say. So it's just a matter of when they're going to get back to work in college football.
Yeah, and this is something I'm going to latch on to positively here. This strikes me as very doable. You know, that's down the road, and there's still a lot of hurdles to hop over here. You know, but if you were to just take the position just for a moment, because I want to throw something by you that, you know, let's just say we get to the season, and there is no season, and it keeps getting punted deeper and deeper into the fall. Before you know it, it's winter. Before you know it, you know, spring sports are around the corner, which opens up all sorts of logistical issues. Just imagine for a moment, as horrendous as this would be to think from a sporting point of view, no college football. Again, I'm not of the mindset, but just imagine for a moment. What would you do? But unlike the spring sports that got granted the extra year of eligibility option, You know, think about a recruiting class for football. Sometimes you're bringing in, what, Teague, 15, 16, 18 guys?
Yeah.
How would you do that?
That would be hard. Yeah. Because, I mean, the only thing you would be able to sell, like sell about the university would not be the program. You'd have to sell, you know, the school itself, which is valuable to some recruits. But a lot of these, especially the major college football recruits, they want to see the program. Right, they want to see the facilities. They want to see how practice works. They want to see how coaches interact with the current players and talk to those current players about what the coaching staff is like. And it would be a serious adjustment. I mean, let's face it, BT. They're having a serious adjustment now. A lot of recruiting that happens in the spring just is not the same right now. You're not going on those unofficial visits to the university and maybe getting some, you know, FaceTime with the coach and talking to the players about how the offseason works and things of that nature. That's just not happening. All of this recruiting right now is over social media, Twitter, and I mean, that's great. But I got to tell you, if I was a 17-year-old or 18-year-old kid right now, and that's how people were interacting, I'd get annoyed by that. You know what I mean? I'd get bored by it. It's like, hey, coach, I talked to you like 2 days ago. I mean, what do you hit me up again for? Mm-hmm. So I it's definitely already changed. If it pushes into the fall for those juniors, rising seniors that are in high school right now, thinking about what school they're going to go to, it might have to be on gut if there's no football. Now, hopefully that doesn't happen. And this thing gets back on track in so many different ways, but it's a contingency you got to think about. Like, how are you going to lure the top end recruits if your program's not firing, you know, if they're not functioning right now?
The good news is you're at a disadvantage in terms of being able to bring that player to your grounds, but you're not at a competitive disadvantage because nobody could bring him to the grounds.
That's a great point.
So it's almost like it's neutralized and it's just stagnant. But I certainly hear you. And I spent a little time today before the show, probably about 2 hours before the show. There was a kid, or there is a kid, not was, mm-hmm. there's a young man who played at Harvard. His name is Bryce Aiken. Stud. He's a point guard. You know, a couple of years back, he averaged 22 points a game. He was hurt a little bit last year. Long story short, he was going to commit today to a school to go and play his postgraduate season. And Seton Hall, which is right now our backyard, mm-hmm. Big East, they were having a great season this year at Miles Powell and everything. And Coach Willard's done a really good job. He chose Seton Hall. And I wound up getting down the and there's some pretty stiff competition for him. So Seton Hall got a big-time player. So did the conference. But I was doing some rabbit hole hopping. And to Tiki's point, there's other prominent graduate transfers who are getting prepared to announce their decision. And I read a few of these kids are on virtual tours of the campuses.
Yeah. That's
Can you imagine like, sight unseen?
It's like someone, I mean, there's two ways to do the virtual tour. It's like someone with a phone, like walking around like, hey, that's the dining facility. Or it's like an actual virtual tour.
That I think it's the latter.
That's been produced. But I mean, that's great and all, but
that's terrible.
I'm saying it's great, but it's not real, right? No. You're not feeling it. You don't get a sense of the grounds and what the classroom feels like, and even if you could go on these tours, there's nobody there.
Not true.
Right? All these universities are closed right now, and most of the students have been sent home, except for those that can't be sent home. So, this is an odd time. It's odd for so many different reasons, but when you think about those young kids that are making transitions in their lives, right? This is a serious transition, moving from under your parents' roof and playing a high school sport with your friends and your buddies, and growing up in a sense, and going off to college. It's a lot of moving parts. You mm-hmm. remember it, BT, just like I do. It's happening in an odd fashion for these kids right now.
Mm, still no high school seasons. That's what's the worst. I mean, you know, it's one thing to have your college career, mm-hmm. like if you're a senior in college, and this isn't to minimize their plight, because again, they were granted the extra year of the NCAA, which is a very noble gesture. Now, logistically, it opens up some concerns. Teak and I spoke about those a week ago, especially mm-hmm. on, you know, rosters like baseball or lacrosse, where it's somewhat limited. But in it's at least if you. And again, it's easy for me to sit here. You know, I was able to get my fourth year in, so it's easy for me to sit here and say that now. But at least if you're a college senior and your track and field season was canceled, or your crew season, or your, I believe, outdoor volleyball, there's a spring sport. We know about baseball, softball, et cetera, lacrosse, men's and women, and it's canceled. But you're a senior in college. Well, you had 4 years of high school, whether it was all on varsity or a mixed bag of whatever, and you had three full seasons in college.
Yeah.
Imagine being a senior in high school and you're just not good enough to play in college. Then listen, 3% of the kids play Division I, II, or III. It's not a lot of kids who are good enough to play college athletics. They're just not. The numbers spit that out. The numbers bear that out. You don't even get to finish your career.
Yeah.
That's disheartening.
Yeah,
that's
it is. Terrible. Yeah, no, at least in college right now, if you're that spring athlete, you can come back. Stay an extra year, work on your postgraduate degree, whatever it may be. High school, it's over.
If you go back in high school, something went woefully wrong academically.
That's right. If you're a senior, you're not staying. You're going to college regardless. And forget the fact if you needed that spring season to like secure a scholarship or something.
Absolutely.
It's unfortunate. I feel for these kids that are at these transition points in their lives, and not just high school but college athletes, even athletes that aren't going pro in their sports, trying to find jobs. There's just so much uncertainty in their lives right now.
Tough times, no doubt. But together, we're getting through it. That's what we're doing here on the show every day. Teek and I have been here. We will be here for you. All the shows on CBS Sports Radio, all the shows on CBS Sports Network. I know they're trying to get Boomer and Geo back up on the tube. Rome has been in his studio, so you've been able to watch the Jim Rome show. Mm-hmm. I know Adam Schein constructed
a makeshift in
his garage. He's a nut. He is absolutely out of his mind. I love that guy. But I saw he put something on. He was doing Time to Shine from his garage. So we're all improvising, and we'll continue to do that until we get back to a little bit of normalcy. So just wanted to say that. Coming up next, though, our good buddy Eddie George. Eddie's been with us, what do you think, 7, 8, 9, 10 times over the last 8 years? Something like that, right?
Anytime we ask, Eddie's the
anytime,
man.
Eddie. Anytime, Eddie. Well, we called him up, and he said, sure, I'll come and chat, see what's up. So we'll get a sense of what Eddie's up to, a little Buckeyes, a little NFL with the Tennessee Titans, a little Tom Brady question. We'll talk to Eddie next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
So much drama in the LBC. Snoop D.O. Double G, but somehow, some way.
All right, Tiki. Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. Hope everybody's doing pretty well. It's funny, as we tout Eddie as always reliable, steady Eddie, always Eddie on the call, Eddie Money, did not pick up his phone.
Come on, Eddie.
Why are you making us look bad, man?
He's calling right now, I bet.
I'm sure he's hooking it up.
I'm sensing it. Mm-hmm. He had Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Network, or he was listening on radio.com, and he heard us chastising him. And now he's calling in.
That's going to motivate him?
That's going to motivate him.
Well, I tell you, he does a lot of different things.
Yeah.
He's kind of like you in that sense.
That's right. We're two only former NFL players to be on Broadway. That's for sure.
Well, Thomas Jones is coming, too. He's been in movies. And
Thomas is like, took it serious acting.
Yeah, he did.
Me and Eddie had some fun up on stage.
Yeah. Oh, man. Go ahead, Teague. I'm sorry.
No, Eddie's here. He's here now.
Oh, we got him. There he is. Steady Eddie, the great Eddie George, Buckeye.
What's up, man? Doing good, man. Quarantine. Trying to figure out what to do around the house next. I've already organized my pantry in alphabetical and color order. Going out to the golf course when I can and working on my short game.
Okay.
Somehow I don't think you're joking either. I think you're actually really doing that. Or organizing your pantry.
Actually, I'm not doing organizing.
All right, good. I was gonna feel bad for you for a second.
It's rough, huh? It's tough.
It's tough, man. Just the first in our history, I guess, in our generation that we've ever experienced anything like this. So there's no book written on this of what to do. Like stay safe, stay in the house and stay close to your family and try to come out of this thing being productive and constructive as possible, man. So it allows you to be really creative during these times, So
it's a good way of spinning it, I guess. Appreciate the positive spin.
Yeah. But I know you guys in New York right now, so I can imagine what's going on up there.
It's brutal. I mean, Jersey's not too far behind, but we'll get through it. We rallied after 9/11. It's what we do. We get up, we shake it off, and we plow forward, man. There's two options. You either fight or you retreat, and we know which direction we're going. It's an easy one. We're going forward.
You're right. As long as everybody's being smart and staying safe, and we hope that you're doing that. as well, Eddie. Look, we've talked a lot this last really couple weeks as football, the NFL, has been the only game in town with free agency and guys moving around. Tom Brady's now a Buccaneer. But the draft is upcoming, and BT and I have been discussing how this is going to be affected by being virtual. I don't think it'll be that big of a deal for those teams that, mm-hmm. that are ready. But the team that you're closest to, the Tennessee Titans, feel like they should be ready. What do you see them doing in this draft, Eddie? Obviously, they got their quarterback in Ryan mm-hmm. Tannehill. Surprisingly, nobody saw that coming before last year. Derrick Henry signed his franchise tag. Where are the Titans right now? Because they were great at the end of last season.
Yeah. They finished off strong. They had a nice run. They can go a lot of different ways with the. I think they're in the bottom half of the draft. I think they're picking like in the 20s. I'm not sure exactly which pick, but there's a lot of flexibility in what they can do. They can go after offensive tackle after losing Coughlin to free agency, lost him to the Cleveland Browns. They can also get another corner. Which they can never have, especially in this conference. You always need really good corners in this league in terms of depth. I can also foresee them going after edge pass rusher. That's something that they've missed in terms of the AFC Championship game, was not able to apply enough pressure on Patrick Mahomes. The running back, a change of pace back. They don't have a guy that Deion Lewis wasn't, what they thought the third down back is a change of pace guy. Once Derek goes out, have a guy that can run the ball. He can be an asset in the passing attack, can catch out the backfield and can block and all those good things. So there's a lot of different ways they can go with that pick. But my guess is they're going to pick the best available player. And that could be running back, corner, or edge rusher, something that they need.
So we're talking to the great Eddie George, Heisman Trophy winner, terrific running back, just played with all heart and obviously incredibly talented, but just a beast. And he's with us here on the show, good friend of the show, Tiki and Tierney. But you glossed over a couple things there, Eddie, that I've got to circle back to. So you mentioned Conklin, you moved on. You mentioned Tannehill, we glossed over it. I need to know, like, more directly, with more substance, why didn't the Titans retain Conklin? I mean, was it just money? Because he only signed for 4 years with the Browns. He's absolutely just entering his prime, from a numerical number. Why were they so willing to let Conklin walk out the door?
I don't think they have the money, honestly. I think they have to pay Derek. I mean, they franchised Derek, but that's not a closed door. That's not that they're going to negotiate through that. I think he signed that 10-year to say, okay, I'll sign this in the good faith that we're going to continue to work toward a long-term deal, however that looks. Mm-hmm. They signed Tannehill to a record in terms of paying the quarterback for our franchise. And I don't think they had enough money or wanted to pay him in that regard. Or they probably figured that, there's enough depth in the draft at offensive tackle where they can go get somebody and replace him in that respect. So that was kind of shocking to me. But, John Robinson and Mike Vrabel, they both have a great idea of what their roster wants to look like. They know the players inside and out, and they figure that, hey, at this point in time, he's expendable. We can go seek another deal somewhere else, and we can put that money in other areas because they still have to work through getting Derek signed for a long-term contract.
Okay. Yeah. How much do you think Derek is going to ultimately get signed for? The running back position is odd right now. You know what I mean?
It is.
He led the league in rushing. He's an impact player. We know that. But what is it worth now?
Tiki, it's funny because each team is different. Mm-hmm. Some teams build around the running game. Some teams don't. Kansas City is built around a quarterback, and the running game complements that. For the Tennessee Titans, that is their identity. They run the football. It depends on how much value they put into it. Now, the going market for it, what Tiki signed a couple of years ago and with Todd Gurley, did they set the bar for that? I think it could be somewhere in that area. The question is how long were the guarantees surrounding that? Derek is a unique player. He's just now entering his prime. He really only played in terms of real-time football a year and a half. He split time for carries in the earliest career with DeMarco Murray.
Yep.
So he's still relatively young. And he's just now entering his prime. Now, we know over time, as running backs accumulate carries, your skills diminish and your value diminishes along with that.
Yep.
That being said, is now how will the Titans protect themselves on the back end of that? You know, you want to compensate him for the job that he's done and what he can do for you in the next 2 to 3 years, but then as time goes on, how do both parties deal with that back end of the contract? And that's what it comes down to. So I think it'll be in the area of an Ezekiel Elliott type of money with those type of guarantees. Of course, they're going to have some triggers in there where they're protected. You know, nowadays they say a guarantee is only a guarantee. The ifs and buts are around the guarantee. It's not a guarantee. You know, if you're on the roster by March 31st, it's really not a guarantee. So you've got to find out where the real money is and where the funny money is and feel comfortable about that.
Yeah.
We're talking to Eddie George. Eddie is with us here on Tiki and Tierney. You got
Sticking to the offensive side of the ball. Ryan Tannehill had that unbelievable comeback player of the year season. Whether or not he deserved the comeback player of the year, we debated this a few months ago. But, yeah. You know, can we expect the same from him? You know, what made him so good this season after so many doubts for really the entirety of his career?
I think it's a combination of a lot of things. I think the pressure, like it was in Miami, the complementary parts, you know, the offense didn't run through him, didn't rely on him, mm-hmm. relied on Derrick Henry in the running attack and the offensive line. All he did was he didn't have to go in there and not mess it up, make a couple plays here and there with his legs, make a few throws on third down. And now I think now that it's in his hands, and he now has a second chance at life. I'm pretty sure he's going to approach the game a lot differently than he has in Miami. I don't know how he was down in Miami in terms of his work ethic and being in the first guy in, last one to leave, and becoming a leader. But I think he feels like this is a second opportunity. When you have that second chance, you want to approach it a lot differently, with a different sense of appreciation. With a little bit more paying attention to detail, really focusing on your craft, and developing chemistry with the receivers. The one thing that Tannehill can do, he can throw it, he can spin it. He's got a strong arm. And the question is now, can he get into a good chemistry, a good rapport with his receivers and the surrounding pieces and parts to really have the offense designed around him? He has the arm talent. He has the ability to move with the legs to escape pressure. Now the question is, can he take it to another level of owning the offense and really becoming that quarterback that they paid for him to be over the next at least 3 to 4 years? So that remains to be seen. But I think he can do it because he's shown flashes of doing it in the second half of the season. Now he knows that he's the guy. He got paid for it, and I think he's going to embrace being the guy is moving forward.
I agree. You know, there were some flashes in Miami, and you talk about how he can spin it. He's got a good arm. Mm-hmm. He is a good athlete. We saw a couple times last year lower the pads and get in the end zone. He's not afraid mm-hmm. to take a pop and keep going, so you know he's tough. You know the guys in the huddle respect that. So he's got the arm. He's got just enough wiggle. I'm not saying he's Michael Vick, but he's got enough wiggle.
No.
He's smart, and he's tough. So to me,
and he's a leader, too.
And he's a leader.
Leadership ability.
Yeah. So, Eddie, to me, those are five things that, yes, the circumstances will need to be aligned for the Titans to maybe win a Super Bowl. He's not going to win, you know, 45-42 and outshoot Mahomes and throw for 470. That's never going to happen. Mm-hmm. But he's just a lot better than people thought. I think people slept on him. I thought they discounted how poor maybe the circumstances were in Miami when he was drafted, a couple of different coaches and coordinators. I like the guy. I really do. I think he's a very good player. I like Ryan Tannehill. Do Titan fans believe in him?
Oh, they do. They do. They, I mean, I don't think it's a matter of the fan base saying, oh, he didn't deserve his money. I mean, he got them as far as he's ever been and since 2003. In terms of the AFC Championship game. So the fan base can't be upset behind that. Now, they just have to be okay. Now that he got paid, how is he going to perform? And I believe in my gut that he's going to really took advantage of this opportunity because of all the things you just said. And I believe, you know, you see it in this league all the time. Guys resurrect their careers, you know, getting a fresh start somewhere else. Yeah. And I think Marcus Mariota going to the Raiders is going to be a great thing for him. We might see the same thing out of him as we saw out of Ryan Tannehill by not having all that pressure on you and listening to what the fans are saying and what the other coaches are saying. You just, you know, the chatter can get into a player's head to where you completely lose confidence.
Okay. Well, listen, Eddie, certainly appreciate you, buddy. Stay healthy. Stay sane. Always appreciate you carving out some time. Next time we have you on, we'll get some Buckeye talk mixed in there nicely. So appreciate you, Eddie. Thank you very much.
Man, blessings to y'all. May y'all be safe.
Be good, Eddie.
Big Eddie. Steady Eddie. Eddie delivers.
Yeah, next time we get him on, we got to talk about this expanded playoff because let's not forget Ohio State won the first one, the college football playoff. They beat Marcus Mariota and the Oregon Ducks back in 2015, I believe, the 2014 season, 2015. College football playoff. Yeah, so, I mean, we'll see. Pretty cool, you know, that he's, you know, he's doing well, and I appreciate him always jumping on with us. He's great, man.
He's the best. Hold on, T. Colton wanted to show you he earned his first star at karate. So he's been wanting to show Uncle Tiki.
Nice.
Uncle Tiki, that red star.
What is
right?
The star? Where is it?
It's
it's by your mouth. Oh, nice.
Sew it on.
Nice.
And he just passed his first belt test, so he's got a first degree yellow belt now.
Nice.
He's
nice.
Coming along, right, buddy?
Nice.
Love it. All right.
You'll be a black belt soon. Black belt soon.
Hey, listen, I can't let that get in the way of baseball, though. I can't. Just learn how to defend yourself, buddy, and we'll keep hitting those baseballs.
It might help.
No, I'm
honestly. Seriously. Hey,
whatever he wants. Whatever.
Body control. Karate's body control. It's like wrestling.
I hear
it
you.
It might help.
If he's got to charge the mound, we know who's going to win. Third hour coming up. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.